This is Dr. Allison Bailey, FACC, and Chair of the Cardiovascular Management Section Leadership Council at the American College of Cardiology. The CV Management Section is pleased to host the podcast series Practice Made Perfect, which will focus on non-clinical competencies related to leadership skills, professional identity, operational skills, and personal balance. We hope you'll join us every other week as we learn from experts in the field who will remind us that practice makes perfect.
Hi, this is Allison Bailey. Welcome you back to Practice Made Perfect podcast. We're going to jump back into negotiation skills, helping leaders get ahead. And I'd like to welcome back Kathy Biga and Peter Duffy to the podcast today. Welcome, guys. As you know, Kathy's the president and CEO of Cardiovascular Management of Illinois. She's also the chairman and board of managers for MedAxiom, as well as a trustee of the ACC board. Joining Kathy is Dr. Peter Duffy. Dr. Duffy served as the prior director of the Quality for Cardiovascular Service Line at First Health of the Carolinas, Reed Heart Institute, Moore Regional Hospital in Pinehurst, North Carolina. Kathy and Peter have already sort of shared with us what they do in their real world on a former podcast. So we're going to jump right into talks here. So both of you have obviously been successful, as we've discussed, in navigating these professional interactions and a variety of different topics in your careers. In our last podcast, you helped us talk about negotiating different career transitions at different points in our lives. And today we really want to discuss how to excel at negotiations within the multidisciplinary team that we're all a part of here in the world of cardiovascular medicine. Kathy, I'd love for you to take this topic first, but how do we successfully negotiate with administration? I know that's a loaded question and can mean a lot of things, but I'm really talking about those discussions and interactions with our administrative partners that help us successfully manage our practice, our hospitals, our cath labs, et cetera.
Yeah, I think those are really great topics. And the key to successful negotiations is to know who you're negotiating with and against. So really understanding administration, and I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been on the completely on the hospital side and then completely on the physician side, and it always amazes me that we think the other is, in quotes, you know, out to get us or trying not to achieve a ultimate goal together. So I think the number one thing is to really know who you're negotiating with. It's critically important. When you're negotiating with an administrator, I think one of the things that we've identified through MedAxiom and the ACC Summit is physicians don't really understand hospital financials. So it's one of those things that we continue to educate on because it's certainly not taught in our fellowship or even in our med school infrastructure. So it's really important to understand what makes them tick, just like it's important for them to understand what makes physicians tick. And where that becomes critically important is if we're negotiating, let's make it something simple. Perhaps we're negotiating for a medical directorship, or perhaps we're negotiating a clinical co-management agreement or a joint operating committee agreement, something that's in the governance model that requires physician leadership and requires administrative support. So I think if you can understand what makes hospitals tick, understand that they don't look at finances the same way we did in private practice or the same way that you may look at it in the outside world. It's very much run as a business. So understanding how that works, understanding how revenue comes in, understanding in this value-based world where physicians can fit in to perhaps bundled initiatives, and that's sort of where I thought I would take us, Allison, is both in a medical directorship or trying to negotiate a gain-sharing situation, perhaps in a bundled arrangement, becomes really important. So educate your administrator. The very best way, in my opinion, is to negotiate as a dyad. Have your physician leader and your administrative dyad meet with the hospital, because chances are now in this day and age, when I'm doing our negotiations, we almost always have our suite or our CEO of the physician enterprise and the chief medical officer. I'm starting to see that dyad relationship exist in everything we do. So I know when Peter has negotiated as well, sometimes we need that administrative support that can talk that RVU language, that can talk about a non-RVU compensation. In our world, we use time value units. Whatever you need, you have to be able to negotiate what that looks like. Peter, are you seeing that same thing, that having both of us together really helps those negotiating skills?
Yeah, absolutely it is, Kathy. Those are great points that you made there. I think one of the things that we get into a lot is, you know, this meeting budget kind of thing. And that's always bothersome to those of us who don't deal in the budget world constantly or not constantly judged by how we're meeting budget or not meeting budget. Because oftentimes these budgets make no sense at all as to how they were created and why it is that we're losing money when we're expected to make money. And when we really look at it, we are making money. We're just not making as much money as they budgeted us to make, and they consider that a loss. And that's one of the things we have to really be recognizing is how they look at finances versus how we would look at finances. I think it's critical that you get the person working with you in the dyad with you. You have to know, again, as you mentioned, who are you negotiating with in administration, and are they the final arbiter of the administrative decision, or do they then have to take that back to another board or committee or their superior to find out if that's okay to be able to do? And then lastly, ultimately, this goes back to the board of the institution to approve or disapprove whatever negotiation that you finally come up with there. So it's important to understand what their perception of what it is that the hospital is supposed to be delivering is going to be. And that's usually found in the strategic plan. So what I've found is that if you can get a hold of the strategic plan, look at that and see where your goals, what your interests are, will align with that strategic plan, and where when you're negotiating against hospital administration, where some of the positions they may be taking are actually contradictory to the strategic plan. When we negotiate, we really want to negotiate on interests for both of us, not positions of what it is. And a good example of that would be if you wanted to expand clinical services into an outreach clinic, for example, and you say, well, I really don't want to go there. The problem is you've got to figure out, okay, what does administration really want? Do they want a clinic there, or do they want more referrals from there to give more patient access from that community? How can you meet that interest there? So, you know, don't really negotiate over a position, negotiate over an interest. And look at objective criteria as much as possible there to get that into the agreement. What is it that can objectively be validated that you can ask for, that they can deliver, or vice versa, so that you've got something to work with from that standpoint? And again, I just go back to saying, I always fall back on the strategic plan. Is what we're talking about here, and the hospital says this is what we have to do, is this in the interest of the strategic plan? How can I help you meet the needs of the strategic plan?
Allison, probably the last piece is to not be threatened by different lingo. I think sometimes administrators and sometimes physicians will use a language set that is uncomfortable to the other. I think it's always imperative and informative to politely pull that back and clarify that. So as Peter said, you're working together towards this endpoint of strategic planning, whether that's building a hybrid lab or whether it's designing an outpatient clinic to move their market share a little bit further out from the mothership.
So one of the things I would say is I see people in negotiations say, well, you said this or you said that or you said that. Try to get away from that and say, your organization said this, because that person is simply representing the organization, and that takes the personal away from the whole thing. So whatever position they're taking, imply that that's the organization's position, not that person sitting in front of you there, and that can make a more comfortable situation there, even when you're disagreeing about a critical point.
Okay, and so, I think if I were to summarize all this, what I'm hearing is that we really should try to educate and prepare ourselves on what the strategic plan is and then look for mutual interests for ways to advance the mission and improve patient care, because that's really what we're all here for. Those are really wonderful tips. Now we've learned to sort of navigate and optimize our interactions with the administrative team. How do we negotiate with other physicians? Let's say we don't have somebody who may not be totally on the team for an outreach clinic or for starting a new service. Let's start with our more senior partners. How do we sort of navigate those discussions?
Sure. So again, it comes back to what are your expectations? Because what you don't want to do is spring something on somebody and say, oh, by the way, you know, we changed the schedule, so next Monday, here's your new job responsibility there. So these are seeds that have to be planted once the thought of doing something different comes into play. Because change is hard on everyone. It's going to be particularly hard on the more senior physicians who feel like they've got an established place within the system there. They're happy or comfortable with it, and they're not coming to you asking to change. You're going to them, and in some cases, it seems like dictating change. So I think the key thing with that kind of negotiation is to be able to encourage them to look at what's good for the whole system, for the whole team. And one of the ways to do that is to explain how you understand why they would feel a certain way about it, But what you found is that when people have done what you're asking them to do, that they have been able to execute that appropriately and felt actually that they were more part of a team, more contributing, they have more job satisfaction. The second part of that would be if you're asking somebody to change, what is it that you can do for them to encourage them to make that change that's positive for the group? So again, not giving up something that's going to be detrimental to the practice or to your focus, but something that may be seem like a little thing to the group, but maybe an important thing to them. So I think it has to be a win-win on both sides. It can be done. It just can't be sprung on someone. It has to be something they were involved in, hopefully from the genesis of that thought process there. There's going to be change here, and you would be the ideal individual to be able to do it. Many times appealing to ego can be very helpful.
And Kathy, do you think those discussions are different with a junior partner compared to a more senior partner, somebody new you're bringing into the group?
Without a doubt. I'm old and getting older by the day. And I will say the one thing that I have seen in my career is the really incredible change in the different generations of physicians. And the world of cardiology has changed as well relatively rapidly, no more so than in these specific areas that Peter was just talking about. And I think on one end of the Peter Clotter, it's extremely hard for my senior physicians who built these practices. Many of them were independent for a very long time, went through the change of being aligned with, employed by, whatever verbiage you would like to use, and sort of watch that migration. And then I look at my fits that are coming out, many of which really want to go into an employed situation. The entrepreneurial component that many of the physicians had, you know, back in the 2000s and even the 1990s doesn't really exist. So my humble opinion to people who are listening to the podcast is, unlike really any other time in my career, approaching physicians with, in the back of my head, understanding where they're coming from, looking in the mirror and seeing the same person that they see is critically important. Approaching them on their local level as to how they view the world. Work-life balance probably is most critical. I have not had in my experience so many requests for protected reading time as I've had in the last 3 or 4 years. So as physicians are coming out of fellowship, they have identified their work balance in such a way that's very different than some of our senior physicians. So I can't emphasize enough what Peter mentioned, is that you have got to lead them and bring them along, but it comes in baby steps. It comes in everybody realizing a group culture, and we haven't talked about this, but the one thing that I think is more important than anything else is to make sure that who you're joining and who you're working with, are they functioning in a we environment or do they function in an I environment? If everything is about the individual, we have individual contracts, we have individual work schedules, these are my patients, you need to be very aware of that whenever you're trying to make changes, as opposed to if you are working in a group structure. I think approaching each physician at where they're at in this time of their life and in their career is really, really important. And getting people to understand that everybody operates a little bit differently. And what is that flexibility within our governance model to allow for some of that flexibility is really important. The last thing I'll mention is I think you've got to be honest. You can't sugarcoat some of this stuff. You have to be prepared to put the cavalier vest on. But the bottom line is if we need people to migrate, I have found the very best way of doing it is just to be honest. We may not like this, but this is what we've got to do. How are we going to get there the easiest way possible? Sometimes it's not a negotiation, and understanding that is equally as important to understand if it is a negotiation.
Kathy, I think you hit on some of the most important topics in negotiating with your colleagues. I mean, making sure everybody's on the same page and really understanding we're all different and we value different things in our job. But I think that is really key to making sure that we have a happy workplace and a successful workplace. With the time we have remaining, let's talk about negotiation with the other members of our team. You know, I think we've known for a long time in cardiology that we need a multidisciplinary team, and we've embraced that. I think maybe more so than any other specialty in the House of Medicine. Our teams are diverse and include advanced practice providers, you know, both nurse practitioners and physician assistants, as well as pharmacists, dietitians, exercise physiologists, echosonographers, nurses, medical assistants, clerical staff, the list just keeps going on. And that's not even talking about the other specialties we interact with. But, you know, Kathy, I think you really excel at this. I've seen you in action. What are your secrets? How do we make everybody feel like they're as an important part of the team as the physician is?
If I use myself, I have only one main goal, and that's to be respectful and honest. It kind of goes back to being that honest. I don't always deliver the best news, but at least my physicians in my day job know when I come to them with an issue, I've done everything I can to mitigate, expand, control. I think your most successful leaders are ones that understand their environment, understand their team, and know how to deliver that message. I don't think we can put enough importance on being open and honest. And it's not easy. Those difficult conversations are not easy. It's why I think a dyad is so important. I just had this conversation with my dyad. We have this situation going on. I'll be glad to be there to support you, but this is a doctor-to-doctor thing. It is not negotiable that you are here to take care of patients during the workday. Love the fact that the kids have soccer. Love the fact that it was the most important time to go get a Starbucks 10 miles away. Whatever the situation is, the bottom line is that we are here for one purpose, and that's to take care of our patients. And with the APPs, I think that's the other, when you're talking about team negotiations, I'm in the process right now of negotiating this process between our physician providers and our APP providers that we can all be successful. And to do that, we have to let our APPs function in some independence. They need to be able to bill. I can't take credit for all of their work RVUs. I can't do shared service and incident two for everything. We have APPs. We need to allow them to function. And I think if you're talking about tough negotiations, in my opinion, this is one of the tougher ones, is how we really negotiate with our CV team members to truly move our practices into team-based care, not talk about it, but truly move our practice into team-based care when there's a competition for work RVUs. If I tell my APPs, you have to meet your salary, you have to produce 2,000 work RVUs minimal a year, and they look at me like I'm from outer space, you know, my collaborating physician, you know, won't, in quotes, let me see patients. You know, how do you negotiate that through? You know, you sort of sit everybody down and say, you know, this is the economic reality of team-based care. How are we going to do this efficiently? And I have never, knock on wood, had a situation where both don't go up in productivity. And I hope that really answers your question, but obviously a topic I'm passionate about, of negotiating that team relationship.
No, I think that's of utmost importance. I mean, we all know the world is driven by finances, and I agree. I think it's totally financially viable. It's just understanding everybody's roles on the team. Peter, how about you? How have you negotiated this team-based care environment?
Yes, I think the critical thing here is the involvement of the cardiovascular service line. I think this is where it can play a very important role in creating really and defining what the culture is, which is to me kind of what the psychological and the social milieu that you're working in. It's like, it's what we do here and everybody knows that's what we do here. And you know that from day one. So again, it's important not to just say, well, we're going to start negotiating at noontime today. This is something that you are bringing in as soon as you bring somebody into the practice. You're hiring a person who is going to be part of that culture that you have created or hope to create and hope to nurture there. So that really embodies the heart team approach to me. I would say a critical thing, again, is for a service line to develop a strategic plan. And what I mean by that is everybody coming together and decide, you know, why are we here? What's our mission? What are we doing here? What's our vision? What defines success for us? What are our goals? What do we need to be accomplishing short-term and long-term? What strategy do we have to be able to do that? In other words, what's the best overall approach to achieve the goals? And then lastly, what are the tactics to be able to do that? What are the specific things specific individuals are going to have to do to achieve that? So then when you have these negotiations, you can go back and look and say, hey, this is what we all agreed on. This is why we love being here. And this is what it's going to take as a team for us to work together. And certain individuals are going to have to give a little bit. Some are going to get a little bit, but that's going to change in the future as we continue to move down to try to achieve and meet the goals of the strategic plan. So to me, that's the important thing. And as Kathy mentioned, respect is critically important. And respect just doesn't mean the doctors and the APPs. It goes down even to the people who are washing the floors in your lab and getting your lab turned over quickly there. It means involving them in the process as well. Everybody who touches a patient there in your system should be part of that process for you, because each one of those, even the person registering the patient coming in the door, is going to be critically important to the success of your program, and all of them need to feel very involved in the process.
All right. I think that's really essential information, not just in medicine, but in any field that we work in. I'd like to thank you both so much for your time here on Practice Made Perfect and ask if either of you have any last closing thoughts before we end this second part of the series.
Hey, Allison, I'd just like to thank you for inviting us. I think it was an energizing conversation. I would encourage our listeners to not be afraid of negotiations. Don't underestimate yourself. Nobody will speak up for you except for you. So make sure that you have the tools that you need to negotiate successfully, and let us know how it turns out.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, Kathy. I would say there's a great book out by one of my professors from Carnegie Mellon, Linda Babson, and the title is Ask For It. And that's really important. Ask for it because you might get it. And the last thing I would add really is celebrate success. You know, we tend to see all this as kind of a difficult process there, but when we are successful, we really need to congratulate each other and celebrate the successes and the achievements that we made.
Those are perfect closing words. I'd like to thank both Kathy and Peter for joining us today. I know I learned how to negotiate more successfully with these diverse teams that we all live and work in now, and I know you've learned some valuable skills as well. So we'll look forward to talking with you all again. Thank you.
This is Dr. Allison Bailey, FACC. Thanks for joining us today, and please be sure to join us online at acc.org or on iTunes and Google Play to subscribe to Practice Made Perfect. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue our series and keep the conversation going on our new online community, Member Hub, to discuss these topics and any top-of-mind practice issues. Catch you next time to discuss more on how practice really does make perfect.